Okay, hi everyone. My name is Evie.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have the privilege of introducing Pastor Travis Osborne to you guys today. Yes, thank you so much. He is such an incredible man. So he is the lead pastor at Valley Christian Family, and that's about 15 minutes away from here. Just a quick shout out to his character. He's such an incredible man, so hospitable. It's amazing that we really do feel like we're a part of the family when we're there. And just a bit more about him, he's actually a Simpson alum. So he attended here, graduated in 1999. He is a master's graduate as well. And then he actually transitioned into being campus pastor for Simpson for 7 years, you guys. So he was our Nat Goins for that span of time. And actually when Nat was a student here, he was head pastor. And in talking with Nat about that, she said that he played a big role in inspiring her pursuit of this job now. So when Nat shares her heart with us, we get to see Pastor Travis's heart too, which is so beautiful. Just a bit about my personal experience at Valley Christian. I've been there about a year, and same for Ryan. Yeah, it's been amazing, and I actually started attending there in a pretty significant part of my faith journey. It's when I started really leaning into the church body and understanding the necessity of it. Back home, I attended my church, but I did see it as kind of optional, and I was pretty independent in my faith. So being able to be at Valley Christian while I discover the importance of the church body has been a blessing. And it's like in Ephesians, we're told that when we're in the body of Christ, that's when we reach maturity. And yeah, I've just seen the fruit of that in my life. Yeah, how about you, Ryan?
Well, first of all, 1999, I did not know Travis graduated the same year as Nat Goins. Wow.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, so on a more serious note, I think coming to Simpson, I was like coming from the Netherlands, fresh off the boat, kind of had no like spiritual imparting throughout my life, and it all came from Simpson. And Travis was really the first kind of spiritual imparting to me from outside of Simpson. And I kind of tagged along with my girlfriend, Hannah, who you guys know. And I remember I'd been to, I think, one service, and we were walking around Dick's Sporting Goods, and Hannah had been going there for like a year, and we're walking around, and he goes, "Hey, guys," and he says, "Hey, Ryan," and then to Hannah, he says, "Hey, you." So I was like, I must be very memorable, but I think it just goes into Travis's heart of like how many people you guys meet during Welcome Weekend and don't remember their names, and he remembered my name after one or two services. And then another thing, I never brought my Bible to church, and then the one time I brought him, like, no big deal, Travis stops me. He's like, "What version is this? Oh, this is great. This is so good. This is what I study out of." And we had like a 5-minute conversation about it and just taking the time before chapel to talk to me about that. And I think I wouldn't change it for the world. And well, you guys are very blessed to hear this guy speak today. Amen. So without further ado, let's welcome up Travis Osborne.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Evie. Thank you, Ryan. That was really, really great. And welcome to chapel. This is your place. How many of you are transfer students? Just give me a, you're my people. You can put your hands down. I was a transfer as well. Transferred from Cal State San Bernardino, and it was actually 1993. So I graduated in 95. And you know, I love this dating thing that you guys are spurring on, because I needed a little courage, and I asked a young woman to go to what was kind of like our homecoming banquet when I was a junior, and she said yes. And then 45 minutes later, she said, "Can we talk?" And I figured I was going back to the friend zone. I've lived in the friend zone. And she tells me, she goes, "I don't know if you know this." Apparently the whole campus knew this. She had a boyfriend back in Santa Cruz. I didn't know it. I would never have asked her. So I was about to kind of like, you know, be the tough guy. But we walked around the library that you guys have here. And we talked. And the more and more she talked, she said this wasn't a good relationship she was in. But she wanted to break up with him, but she didn't think she should do it over the phone. So she wanted to wait until they were face to face. So I'm like, "I think I hear what you're saying." And she broke up with him. He was a bodybuilder. I know she went from I'm a volleyball player. I was a volleyball player here. And she totally switched. And we've been married for almost 30 years. So It takes courage, right? Go ahead and ask someone. Another kind of cool thing, some of the students that I was campus pastor for, they were leading today, and Jimmy over here and I actually, we played volleyball 2 years at Simpson together, and so it's so cool, and he was leading us as a student in worship when we had chapel in the dining hall, and I love that some 34 years later, Jimmy is still leading me in worship. And can I tell you, at 2 years as a volleyball team, we had a winning record both years. And I know that that doesn't always happen at Simpson. So, no, I can say it. I can say it because I'm one of you. I'm one of you. If you have a Bible and if you're able to see it, if not, I have on the scripture on the screen. But I just want to read to you three verses out of the book of James. James chapter 1. And I'm reading it from the Bible my mom gave me in 1985. She gave this to me, and it was when I was a teenager, and I started reading scriptures, and this is one that I have highlighted that was very important to me when I was 17 years old, even wrote it on my baseball glove to remind myself, and I thought I might pass along these words to you today. I thought that life with God was supposed, that God was supposed to make life easier. Isn't that kind of what we think? Like, well, God, you know, you're all powerful, you're good. And yet I was going through trials and difficulties and hardships, like I'm sure you do. And I really wondered, well, where is God? And isn't God's job to remove difficulties from life? And I kept waiting, when will life get easier? And it never did get easier. In fact, things got tougher and more difficult. My experience has been that even for a believer, that adversity hits us all, right? Trials and hardship keep coming our way. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me right now on your own. Is there a current trial, hardship, suffering, a tragedy that you are working through right now that you find yourself in? And maybe you would keep that in mind as we read God's word today. Or maybe there's a past hardship that still affects your life, that maybe you would keep that in mind today as we read God's word. He has good news for us here in the book of James. James is writing to people who are bruised with adversity. Because they followed Christ, life got even more difficult for them. And so in his letter, right at the beginning, he addresses these troubles and hardships in their life. Father, teach us from your word today in James 1. Amen. Here we have it on the screen. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. And as a teenager, I found this to be filled with hope. I even, again, wrote it on my baseball glove so I'd see it every day. And I committed it to memory and highlighted it on my Bible that I would remember. James comforts these Christians. He doesn't say, hey, the trials you're going through, you deserve them. You did something to bring them on. Neither does James dangle a promise to say, listen, these trials will be gone soon and you'll live happy, trouble-free lives. He doesn't say that either. He says that trials are inevitable. They are guaranteed. Consider it joy when you encounter trials of all kinds, various trials. And then he goes on to say that these trials have a purpose, that God is actually going to bring something out of these difficulties. We can even see our trials and our tragedies, our hardships, even our failures, we can see them as servants in our life that God can use to grow us, to bring about maturity in our life. And so rather than cursing these trials or these problems, we actually become a bit patient with them to see what God might do even through a tragic situation when life goes sideways. Verse 2, we see that this word trial means an unwelcome or unanticipated experience when life goes sideways. Have you ever had that? Something that you did not see, nor is it welcome. You don't need to go looking for trials, right? Trial means to tempt or to try or to test or to prove. We get another definition of trials. We can use the scripture to help interpret the scripture. So verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith, that's another like synonym for trials, that when you go through a trial, it's actually a testing of your faith, and it can produce something. You know that going through a test isn't always bad. Temptation is always toward evil, but going through a test is actually an opportunity that you might be proven to be trustworthy. You might make it through. I was talking to Nick, who's preparing to go through his licensing interview to be a pastor. I went through that interview as well. And I realized that this group of people were testing me, not because they were wanting me to fail. They were testing me because they wanted me to pass. Does that make sense? Your coaches, your professors, and the tests that they bring to you, they're not hoping that you will fail, but they are testing you that you might grow in your knowledge, your experience, that you would actually pass. Trials are seen as the same purpose. So we don't despair because we know something. And what do we know? Verse 3. We know that the testing of our faith produces something. And I love this word. The New American Standard calls it endurance. What a great word. Your Bible might say it produces perseverance. It produces steadfastness. Endurance means to remain or to abide or remain under like a storm. Or when something comes, it doesn't knock you over. Endurance means the strength to continue or persevere despite fatigue or pain. It means not to give up when a trial comes, but to see it through and that you will not be shaken. Endurance is an active and a forceful word. It's the quality of a person to stand their ground in the face of a storm. And endurance must finish its work in you, that it will have its perfect result. Look at verse 4. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That word perfect is very intimidating to me. It's actually in most of our scriptures and versions will be translated that it will make us mature. And so this word perfection doesn't mean that you'll get to the point where you will never do anything wrong again, but it means that endurance will bring about maturity in life. Maturity means that you've reached full growth. You are functioning as you are designed to. Maturity is what we want through you in going through studies at college, is that you would push away from the kiddie table. You'd push away from the kiddie table of faith. You'd push away from the kiddie table of life, and you would begin to contribute to God's glory, to bring him glory and the welfare of others. And rather than seeking to be served, maturity happens when you look to serve others for their well-being. And this is God's desire for us, is that we wouldn't remain as kids, but we would grow up in our faith into mature men and women, to be the person that God has designed you to be. That God, this is an ongoing process in our life of maturity, shaping us to be more and more like his son, Jesus. God is in the process right now of taking you from here, wherever it is you find yourself. He's taking you from here to there. It's a process of a progress of movement from immature to maturity, where you are competent. And so these trials have purpose. You may not always know why they happen, but God can bring about something good. Some of the trials you face will be self-inflicted because of your own foolish decisions. How many of your trials you can think about something you brought about, maybe even a hardship, it was because of your unwise decisions. God can still use those to bring about his good purposes. If you've been around me for a while, you'll hear the story. When I was a sophomore at Cal State San Bernardino, when I was playing on their men's volleyball team, their club team, I was riding the bench half the time my freshman year. My sophomore year, I earned a spot as the starting setter. And the game right before the season started, we had a practice game at La Sierra University. I was upset with my performance, and so I punched a padded wall. because I was angry. I was one of the only few Christians on that team, but when I punched the wall, I broke my hand. I broke my hand and I had to sit out the first 8 games of my sophomore season because of my own foolishness. And yet God did a work in those 4 weeks sitting on that bench. God was changing me and growing me and showing me my immaturity. And I said, God, when I get back on that court, I promise to play for your glory, whether I win or lose. And I came back on that court and I was a much different, more mature player. I even became a better opponent because I just enjoyed being on the court, even though rather than sitting on the bench. I continued to play for 2 years at Simpson, and that broken hand experience shaped me. And some of you I see as athletes, and please don't take this the wrong way, and I see how you carry yourself, and I say, you need to break your hand. If it's going to bring about growth in you, that even some of those, and it's not because I don't love you, it's because I want to see you move from here to there. Some of the trials that we're going to face are because of the evil choices of someone else. And yet we are not impervious to those things, to the evil in the world directed toward us. And I would never call what they do to you good, but I believe that God can do a redemptive turn and he can hijack the evil that has been done to you, and God can bring out something good from it. Let's not call it good. Let's not call what happened good. But you can have joy, a deep-rooted action of peace, because you know that God will not waste that pain. And some trials that you face will have no earthly explanation of why you have to go through it. It's not because of your own foolish decisions. It's not because of someone else's foolish decisions. But I guess we call it, scripture will call it your lot in life, the portion that God has for you. That's different than the person behind you or around you, but you're going to have to walk with that. So I thought of this account because I was 18 years old. Some of you might be 18 or a little bit older than that. And when I was a freshman at that state university, I woke up one day and the whole right side of my face from the forehead to my neck was paralyzed. I could not move it. I got really sick and it was just like a line down the middle of my face. And they ended up diagnosing it, and it's something called Bell's palsy. And I had no idea, God, are you punishing me? Did I do something to bring this? I don't think so. Is it someone else's evil choice? I don't think so, but it was my portion that I had to walk through. And it was very hard as an 18-year-old student, right? Looking for love, looking for friendship. And then all of a sudden, my face was sagging. And I kept thinking, well, one day the movement's gonna come back. And it didn't. In fact, I still suffer paralysis from that when I was 18 years old. I can't move most of the right side of my face. And it taught me a lot. It was mostly a cosmetic issue. But I'm like, God, why? What's the purpose of this? I couldn't ever understand why. But God was doing a work even in that trial. God began teaching me about what true beauty is. Because I think I thought that beauty was cosmetic outside, but I realized that, you know what, something's going funky with my face right now, and I just need other people to look beyond the outside and find my heart, get to know me, right? And God was shaping my heart because I thought, that's what everybody else wants too. They don't want me to judge them by their outside appearance. Why don't I push through to find the gold in them and who they are? And I believe that God was actually shaping in me a pastoral heart. I had sensed a call into ministry, and then a month later, my face is paralyzed. And now, and I thought with teenagers, how do I look beyond what's going on the outside to find the beauty within? I began to realize that if I'm ever going to get married or find someone to woo them toward me, I guess I can't count on my face. Maybe I'm going to have to work on things like compassion, kindness, character, and generosity. Maybe that's actually what's really attractive. And I wonder, and I know God can heal. I pray for healing all the time. I believe he can. But for his own purposes, he's left me with this reminder. And I'll tell you, it brought me into a form of maturity in life. And I'll say this, I would never want to experience that trial again, but I would not be the man I am today had God not walked with me through Bell's palsy. You may be able to say that about a trial you've had, or maybe the one you're walking through now. And it's okay to say, I hope I never have to go through this again. But I would not be the woman or man I am today had God not walked me through this trial. Facing trials and hardships are like being thrown into a furnace. All the heat of the furnace, though, is not designed to crack you or to break you, but to solidify you, to strengthen you, to forge God's character in you. And so what do you do when you're facing and walking through a trial? Let's look at our verse 4. And let endurance have its perfect result. Can we just look at that word let? It means cooperate with. It means to give in to. Let endurance finish its work. Allow trials to do God's work in you. Even invite God to do his good work through this trial or hardships. Don't run away from them. Participate in the lesson that God has for you. And so I guess here's my big thing I learned at 18 years old. I wanted God to make life easier, but God's desire is to make me stronger. I stopped praying, God, would you make life easy? God, would you strengthen me to face whatever you have for me this day? And God wants to grow you stronger. And it's because he loves you. He does not zap us into maturity. Wouldn't that be great? So often, character is forged through hardship and through pushing through. You guys ever heard of the biosphere experiment in Arizona? Here's a picture of the biosphere. It was a closed ecological system to support and maintain human life. Perfect conditions in there. People lived in it for 2 years. But there was a problem in there. The trees kept falling over in the biosphere. They kept falling over in these perfect conditions. And you know what they realized why trees were falling over? Because there was no wind in the biosphere. And apparently, roots grow deeper and stronger when trees are pushed around. And sometimes we're praying, God, no wind, no resistance. But trees, and I think people grow stronger when they're pushed around a bit. Satan will tell you that your trials and your hardships are proof that God doesn't love you, or that God doesn't exist, or that God is not powerful enough to remove that trial from you. But the truth of God's word is that trials are actually proof that God truly loves us and wants the best for us and will walk with us through them like a father walks through difficult times with their child. My young son, Davey, can I give you a picture? This is many years ago. That's baby Dave's. He's 21 right now, and he's at college in Arizona. But the kid would crawl under a chair, hit his head on a table, and just cry and cry and cry. And I used to pull him out and pull him out and pull him out, and he'd do it again and again and again. And finally, one time, he's there crying. And I got down on the carpet with him. I'm like, Davey, you got yourself into this. There's a way out. And he's just screaming at me, wanting me to pull him out again and pull him out again. And my wife's like, Trav, you know, pull him out. I'm like, no, I want Davey to learn how to get out from under that chair. I'm not going to abandon him. I'm with you. You got this, buddy. And eventually, he learns that he can crawl out. And so now if he's on a date and he drops a fork and he goes under the chair, he knows how to get out, right? But you could have called me a horrible father. But I'm with him. I never left him. And Davey learned through that. Know that God is with you in your trials and hardships and tragedies and afflictions. Know that God is working in you to grow you, to bring you into maturity. Will you let him do it? Will you let your trials produce endurance? Will you let endurance finish its work in you? God has never promised to make life easy, but he desires to make you stronger. So whatever trial you find yourself in, how about rather than asking, how can I get myself out of this? Maybe ask, what can I get out of this? Father, help me to get through and to be stronger on the other side.